I thought it was very important after prayer to end this group of teachings with the armor of God so that we know how to continue to defend ourselves. And it's something that we hear about all the time, but very seldom has it been explained to us. And of course, we can just touch on the meanings, and I'm praying that the Holy Spirit will expand those meanings for you of each and every part of the armor. You have a little picture, too, of a Roman man. And we're taking the text from Ephesians 6, 10, and the important three verses before we get into the actual armor, or four, I'm going to read. I believe that verse 6:10, Ephesians 6, verse 10, is important that we remember. Finally, my brethren, of course, I think Paul's finally is quite a few verses from final, but finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. The armor is Jesus, and it is his power and it is his might that we stand, that we pray against attacks, that we do everything, not your strength. You have good days, bad days, weak, up, down, you know how it goes. But that doesn't affect our power in the Lord, and it certainly doesn't affect God's power when you have a bad day. It's Christ in us. And so remember that it's the Lord, his power and his might. That's what the armor is about. Put on the whole armor. Now, there's that put on again. You know, the clothing thing. And he leaves it to our free will choice to put it on or not to put it on. And we have, I guess this is an old joke by this time, but we have a lot of Christian streakers. We go into the battle. I mean, how many soldiers do you know? Oh, I left my gun on the bed. Oh, my goodness. Oh, I forgot my helmet. I mean, they don't go into the battle with part of the outfit. And so put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. The wiles of the devil. That is his strategies. Now, he has strategies. He's got an army, and he's got a higher order of command, and he's got tactics. And when we go to war, we study the tactics of the enemy. That doesn't mean we're focusing on him at all. It's just being smart. We need to know where we're going. They study the land, and they study, you know, the terrain, and they study the plans of the enemy as much as they can find out through intelligence, and you know that's a big part of the war. And so we have been learning in the last few hours about some of the strategies and how he can attack us. And now we're a lot smarter, hopefully. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, and you must remember it isn't that husband, it isn't that mother, it isn't that father, but it's principalities and powers working through them. And that's how we can love them regardless. And that's the way God loves us regardless. I'm sure he sees all of these things hanging on us, and he can look right through to the heart and to the intent. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor, you take it, whole armor, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore. Notice stand, stand, stand. There are about four of those. We're expected to stand, not fall over. And see, he gives us everything that we need to do that. And it's his power and his might. And I sort of like it in the Amplified, although I'm a dyed-in-the-wool King Jameser. Put on the whole armor, the armor of a heavily armed soldier, which supplies that you may be able to successfully to stand against all the strategies and deceits of the devil. For we are not wrestling flesh and blood, contending only with physical opponents, but against the despotisms, against the powers, against the master spirits who are the world rulers in this present darkness, against the spirit forces of wickedness in the heavenly supernatural sphere. And I think that's really good. The armor is Jesus. And we see that, I'm just going to read one of those in Romans 13. There's quite a few. Romans 13, 12 says, "For the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness." That's what we've been doing. "And let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put you on the Lord Jesus Christ. And make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof." So that's one place where it says this armor that we're putting on is Jesus himself. I like to compare this to, I guess, well, anyone in authority, but a policeman's what comes to mind. Let's say there's a little 4'10" policeman who weighs 130 pounds standing in the main intersection of a Manhattan street, directing huge trucks and traffic through the intersection. Here comes a great big huge truck going too fast, and the policeman holds up his hand. That means stop. That is the authority of his uniform. That is not his size. That is not his strength. We wear Jesus. And we have authority in him. And it doesn't matter how big the truck, how great the speed, or whatever, when we say stop in Jesus' name, that's it. You believe it because it's really true. And everything else is a trick. And so it's not your strength and your emotions or any of these things, but the power in his name and the work of the cross. Again, the work of the cross, where he defeated the devil and made a mockery of him. And so again, it's appropriating that work that Jesus has already done, and he gave it to us. He said, "You have the power and authority over scorpions to tread on them and serpents." That's the evil powers. Because of the cross. We don't need false humility. "Oh, I dare not say that. God, you do it." No, God gave you the authority in his name. Do it. It's his power and his might. So I thought we would look at quickly, of course, what is this armor? And we won't read. The first one that pops up is the belt of truth. And the belt is, or girdle, you know, sometimes you see in the New Old Testament girdle, and you see in Revelation the girdle about Jesus' waist. It's a belt. And this belt was not just an adornment, but it held together the whole outfit, you know, in the middle. And it went up through the loins and through the skirt and made it into like pants. And in prior to engaging in battle, they would gird up the loins so that they could run, move, because, you know, skirts, we know, are cumbersome for running and fighting. So this belt was very, very essential. You know, I call this whole thing, by the way, I call Paul's unforgettable imagery of given by God of this armor to us, making lemonade out of lemons. I mean, the man is in prison, Paul, and he's chained to a Roman guard night and day. And he has the spiritual eyes to see it as our armor in the war, looking at this Roman soldier and all of the things on it and making that spiritual lesson for us. May we do as well, that we might have the eyes of God. And so this figure we first see, and don't have to turn there, is in Exodus 12, if you'll recall, the Passover, when the Jews had to flee out of Egypt very rapidly, and they couldn't put yeast in their bread to let it rise. They didn't have time, so they took unleavened bread, flat bread, that didn't have time to rise, and they girded up their loins. That means they were ready to run. They had to move out, and they had to move out quickly. So the belt reminds us of that, of getting ready to serve God quickly, obediently, rapidly. Yes, Lord. Move out, move out. Whatever that we're ready to go for Him. Active service. And that belt is truth. And we've been talking a lot about that. And it really ties into the sword, too. But the only truth is the truth in this book. You see, the rest is not. And, you know, we must pray at all times against things we've been taught by our parents, teachers, pastors, it doesn't matter. Media, television, movies, that's obvious. Music, whatever. The culture, tradition, preconceived ideas, generational stuff, religious stuff, whatever, that doesn't match this. Never mind all the accusing lies of the devil when the devil says, you're alone. You say, no, I'm not. I'm not forsaken. I'm no longer abandoned. But I have been accepted in the Beloved. Get lost. You know, the belt of truth. And it has to do with walking honestly. Now, we all have many sins and errors and good days and bad days, but the thing is, are we trying to walk in truth? Not defrauding our brother, not deliberately lying, not being a liar, not being dishonest in business, not trying to cheat, not trying to get away with things. That's all in the belt of truth, and walking in truth. This, the Word of God, and then honesty, and this girding up the loins. And we're told in 1 Peter to gird up the loins of our mind. So you have that same imagery, and that means that in our mind we would be alert, and we would be ready for action, not lollygagging about or whatever. That's an old word. And so that's just a little bit about the belt. Now, realize that we're going to get up every morning and we're going to put on our armor. We're not going to go out in the day naked to this war. And you may have to put it on more than once a day if it slips off. Or if you forget that you're wearing one of these things. And so I gave you a bunch of different prayers that I've collected. Different ways to pray about the armor. And you can use those, or you can, you know, sometimes you have 5 seconds, sometimes you have 3 minutes. So you can just say, I put on the armor, Lord, you know, kind of thing. Or sometimes you need to pay attention to certain parts of the armor where you're weak, and you'll know, you know, if the belt is your weak area. Eventually, now, most of it's is the helmet, which, and the breastplate, which we're going to talk about next. So you might have to concentrate that you're wearing that when the attacks start flying at you, and remember and recall that you actually have it on. And I think this breastplate of righteousness is where a lot of us fall down. I don't want this book at all. And I want you to get this in your heart of hearts, because we've even been touching on it in the previous studies. What is the armor? It's Jesus. What is the righteousness that we wear? Jesus. Okay? Now, when you put on this breastplate, it covered the organs like the heart, the emotions, the stomach, the bowels. We've been talking about some of you having problems in the, you know, where the gut feeling when you get attacked. The heart stopping type of thing when you're accused, you know, the emotional. areas. And so this, you have to have this breastplate on for these attacks. And the breastplate is the righteousness of God. Okay, does that change? Ever. He's always righteous. Remember, you're wearing him. So if you make a mistake, a horrible mistake, you feel really bad, and you're beating yourself up, but really, you're still just as righteous in God's eyes. And when you succeed and you do something good for a change or something right, do you take the glory? No, God did it. It's his. So if you got this firmly in your mind, and you're wearing this breastplate, when the accuser, the devil, comes, you're no good, you ought to kill yourself, look what you did, you're just, you would rather be selfish than you would. Yes, that's true. And worse. But Jesus died for that. And I'm righteous. Get lost, devil, in the name of Jesus. He always comes as the accuser, and God does not. That's how you can tell. If the thought that comes is not, or the voice that comes is accusing and it's putting you down, it's not God speaking to you. And we don't care if it's the flesh or the devil, but we don't want to walk that way. And so if you get this, you're very free. You're free from works. Now, good works are a fruit of our walk with the Lord, but they're not our salvation, and they're not our righteousness. We are not righteous by what we do. We're righteous by what Christ did. So when these things come, you're no good, and look what you did, you say, yes, but I'm righteous. See that breastplate? And when you do something well, you don't take the glory. You say, glory be to God. See that breastplate? That's God in me. And if you're wearing this, it keeps you in true humility, I say. Meaning, there's no good thing in me. Most of us get stuck there. There's no good thing in me, and I can do nothing in my flesh, but in Christ I can do all things. That's the breastplate of righteousness. And when you get that in your heart of hearts, you're going to be a much happier Christian. Happy is the wrong word. Much more victorious Christian. Christ is our righteousness. The Lord our righteousness. We can never be righteous in the flesh. And, you know, you know me, I always footnote. It doesn't mean that our works are unimportant. God rewards our obedience, and he asks us to run the race, and he says we're going to give account, and that they're run to win the prize, and all these sorts of things. And there are deeds of the saints. Faith without works is dead. You know, these works. But in Ephesians it says that if we walk with the Lord, this is so freeing to me, we're not saved by works, but by grace. But if we walk with the Lord, there's a path of good works for us. And it's all ordained already. You just walk with the Lord, you love the Lord, and guess what? Good works are all along that path. And you don't have to strive. You abide in the vine. Remember, John 15? If the grapes had to work to bring fruit, it'd be a noisy valley. No, they don't. They abide in the vine. And so there are works. So I don't want to say, you know, works don't count. But they're not works for your righteousness. And when you do things wrong, it doesn't affect your standing with God. This is why Jesus' yoke is light and easy. And if you get into a works trip where you have to earn his favor and your favor and his and everything, you're suddenly stooped over with a yoke of iron and a false yoke. It's such a joy when you realize we abide in the vine. We enter into the grace of God. We love the Lord. We love one another. Those are the works and the kind of work. We believe on the Lord. What is the work of God? They asked Jesus. He says, believe on me. That believing is work. The opposite is unbelief and distrust and doubt and fear and so on. Our work is believing. Our work is faith. These are the kind of works. So remember that when you're putting on that breastplate. It's a very important part. Don't leave it at home. Because we get attacked there as much as anywhere in that, those heart areas, those emotional areas, the condemnation, the guilt, the shame, depression, self-pity, suicide, that whole condemnation thing. And that's where your protection is, in that breastplate. And then there's the gospel shoes. I call them. And the shoes, the Roman sandals were quite unique. The Roman army was the greatest in the world for many hundreds of years. And one reason they were so strong is because of their army, because of these sandals. They could march for very long distances, and they marched very rapidly. The shoes were light. And they could arrive days before anyone expected them. And also, they had little nails in the bottom, all over, pre-Nike or whatever, pre-mountain shoes, and they would grab. They grab, and they would have firm footing. They didn't slip and slop around. So when we wear these shoes, we are to be reminded again of moving quickly, sort of like that belt girding up the loins, moving very rapidly to serve the Lord, to fight the fight. And so the speed and then the sure-footedness because of the grip. I will make your feet like hinds' feet in high places. You know, like a deer clings on that mountain. Doesn't matter how steep, sort of like that. And so that we have this sure footing. And talks about in Isaiah, beautiful feet are of those who bring the good news. These are also shoes that mean that we're prepared to share the gospel. And you know, if you aren't doing that in your life, you're missing a lot of the joy and the excitement and the fresh water and the life of the Christian. If you let yourself get stagnant and don't share. Even if you get rejected, but now that you're healed of rejection, what does it matter? All they can do is reject you. And so we are to announce the good news. That's our mission on the earth, to love the Lord, to love our neighbors, ourselves, and to bring the good news to all the nations. And so when you wake up in the morning, say, and you're putting on your shoes, you can do this as you're getting dressed, all of these things. Lord, use me today. Don't let me get so busy with my schedule and my own life that I miss the people you've put in my path, even if it's in the produce department of the grocery store. Because everywhere that you go is in God's plan. And he has people along your path. And when you're putting on your shoes, just ask that you would be aware of that today as you go forth. And that you wouldn't miss opportunities that he has put there for you. It says the gospel of peace. And That peace is the peace with God that we have in salvation. And so we are to go forth and share that Jesus is the only peace. You know, in the world, the Antichrist will come in saying, peace, peace. And they will say peace and safety, but there will be sudden destruction. Peace is the byword of the day. And the nations are uniting for peace. The treaties are being formed for peace. But it's not the peace through Jesus Christ. And he is the only peace. That's our message. And it's very timely. It always was. But in these days, when that's a word that we hear all the time, we can say that there won't be any peace, you know, in Israel till Messiah, till Jesus comes back. There won't be any peace in your heart until you accept Jesus as your Lord and make peace with God, because you have a God-shaped hole in yourself and nothing else will fit it. Things like that. So this part of the gospel shoes, as well as the quickness to obey the Lord and the firm footing. If you feel like you're slipping and sliding, remember, you need to put those sandals on again and you're firmly planted in Christ, because all the armor's him. Okay, we have then the shield of faith. And the only thing I don't like about that drawing is the shield is really too small. The shields were very large. They covered the whole body. And actually, the word shield comes from a Greek word meaning door, a stone for closing the entrance of a cave, like Jesus' tomb, a door, an entrance, or a gate that was placed in front of a doorway. And they were 4 feet by 2.5 feet. So a lot bigger than it shows on there. And they were curved. They protected the whole body. And they were made of wood covered with 2 or 3 thicknesses of leather, held with a handle on the back. The leather was aged so that it was tough. And any dart that, you know, might be fiery tipped, because they set the darts on fire, when it hit that shield, would go out. And sometimes they soak this leather with oil, and I think of the anointing of the Holy Spirit, to toughen the shield so nothing could penetrate. And it says that that shield will quench every fiery dart. I don't care if it's judgments hurled at you, evil words, evil thoughts, witchcraft, curses, rejection, ancestor, whatever, you know, accusation, so on. This is my shield up. The dart never got through. Now, if you forgot, you know, the shield has to be up. And so, in fact, the Roman army sometimes would make a wall of shields. You know, they would march together and over the head too, like a turtle thing. And so that none, it was a complete armored tank idea, and none of the darts could get through. And to me, that's sometimes like coming together like we did this weekend, where we pray for each other and teach each other and pull together with our shields. And so sometimes God uses all of us together. The shield is a symbol of God's protection. And there are many verses. God is a shield about us. It's all over the place. He is our shield. There's a buckler, which is a little thing, but the shield is the big thing. And he is a shield about us. All about us. And there's a couple other verses in Isaiah and elsewhere. I can just think of Isaiah right now, where it says, and God is our rear guard. So you think about the shield, not just in front. Sometimes we think our backside might be open. He is a shield about us. all about us, like a hedge of protection. That shield is faith, it says. What is faith? Believing God. Believe that he is, and he can has the power to do what he says, and he rewards those that seek him. Believe. Of course, the enemy wants to attack that. But then you're going to have your armor on, so it's not going to work. The darts were tipped in tar or pitch, and they were meant to explode when they hit. And so, you know, we've talked about words being arrows and weapons. Ones that we send or have been sent against us, the fiery darts are flying. And look, if you forgot, you said, I don't need the shield today, or I'm not wearing the shield, or the shield's not up, or you're busy looking for the darts. We don't want to do that either. Okay, and you realize something hit. I mean, mentally or emotionally or even physically. Ah! That's pain. Okay, then stop. Lord, pull out that fiery dart, please, by the finger of God. And heal me wherever it hit. Don't go around limping all day. And then pick up your shield and go on. Darts are lies. The helmet of salvation. To me, I mean, all of these weapons are important, or we wouldn't, I mean, all the armor, or we wouldn't be getting all of it. But I tend to think that we focus, we get attacked in that breastplate area, the emotional wounds, you know, rejection and all. But the whole war is really in the mind. That's where it's won and lost. And the mind is covered by the helmet. So please, please, please. Now, some people like to put their armor on top to bottom, you know, starting with the helmet and then going on to the shoes. Or you can do it the way it's in the scripture, the way I was just reading it, or any old way you want. Just put it on. And the helmet protects the mind. And the thought life. Oh, I'm going to give up on that little book. I don't need it anyway. My helmet, I kind of expand it from the Roman helmet. My helmet has, well, I guess theirs did too, an eye piece, a visor, and it comes over my eyes. So I'm protecting what I watch. Lord, today, anything I'm going to let in through my eye gate will affect my mind. Don't think it won't. And my helmet, it covers my ears. What I'm going to hear today, what I'm going to listen to. And when people say things to me, am I going to receive them as they curse me or whatever? Boy, you look terrible today. Oh, no, I don't. In the name of Jesus, you know. Okay, over my ears. My helmet has a piece that comes up over my mouth. And what I speak. Today, remember, it's our daily bread. One day at a time. You're putting on your armor daily. You're picking up your cross daily. That cross is dying to self. And so don't think about it for tomorrow or next week or what, you know. It, because that isn't what we're instructed to do. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. And so, our thought life. Well, first of all, let's talk about that it's the helmet of salvation. That word salvation's interesting to study, and we think about it as being saved when we've invited Jesus to be our Lord. It also interchanges with the word deliverance. we are set free from Egypt, the bondage of Egypt, and to freedom as we apply Jesus' blood to our hearts. And so when you're putting on the helmet, think about salvation. I'm saved. I'm a child of God. And this salvation is a process. It started with the day you prayed the prayer to invite Jesus into your heart and take over your life. And it continues up until the final completion when we stand before the Lord face to face. So we've been delivered from sin, and we continue to be sanctified and delivered. Think back on all the things he saved you from. You know, when you're doubting that he cares, when you're doubting that he's with you, when you're doubting that he has the power to get you out of this situation, think back. How many times has your life been saved? How many near misses? How many rescues financially? How many whatever? Here you are, you're still here. And you thought you wouldn't make it. God is saving us, and he will yet glorify us and change us, and we will see him face to face. We have a sure future. We inherit the riches of Christ. We become co-rulers, judges. We have a sure future. Don't worry about your future. Don't worry about, you know your future. That's part of the helmet. That's part of salvation. Past, present, and future. He is, and will deliver you yet. You will be resurrected from the grave again and again and again, because that's his resurrection power. That's salvation. And we have, I think we should look at just a few of those. 1 Corinthians 2:16. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Well, the Bible can't lie. You have the mind of Christ. I don't care if you feel like it. I don't care if it seems like it. The truth is, you have the mind of Christ. You can choose to walk in it or your own mess. Hundreds of times a day. No, I choose to walk in the mind of Christ. It's sane, it's sober, it's wise. It knows what to do. It's not confused. But the choice is always with us, what we're going to put on and put off, and what we're going to hold as true, what we're going to believe for that moment. And so your mind is the mind of Christ. You have all the wisdom of God available to you any moment, any day. Isn't that great? Just ask for it. The one, 2 Corinthians 10, I call it the CB verse, not CD, CB. Remember the CB radios? And this is, they used to say 10-4 over and out on the radio. This is 2 Corinthians 10-4. But we'll actually start in 10:3. Oh, I'm in 1 Corinthians. That won't do. 2 Corinthians 10, very important helmet verse. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but again, mighty through God, not your own power, his power, to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Here comes the thought, you're ugly. 10-4 over and out. That's not God. Out. Every thought is brought into the obedience, the captivity of Christ, which is the truth. Is this pure, peaceable, gentle, easy to be received? Does this match the word of God? Then it's not God. I'm not spending the time of day on you. Instead, we water it and dig around it a little bit, and pretty soon we have this big black plant. Where'd this ugly thing come from? You did it by dwelling on it. Now, this is practice, exercising faith, you know, 1 pound weight, 5, 10, 200. Exercise faith, practice, practice, practice. You're making new habits, you're training your mind. And let's say that you've gone 2 hours into the day and you're really depressed. Wait a minute, stop. I don't have to go through the whole day like this. Now, where did that start? Oh, 10 this morning, that phone call from so-and-so. And they did this and they accused me, rejected me, whatever. And then I just kept going. You know, I didn't have my helmet on. I didn't bring it into captivity. Lord, forgive me. Let's back this up. I forgive that person. I break the judgments. I break anything they said about me. It's not true. It's a lie. And I'm not going to walk anymore in it. The helmet is something you cannot go without. God will, says to think on what is pure, peaceable, gentle, and easy to be received. That's the Philippians 4 verse. What we think on, again, is our choice. What we spend time on is our choice. What we let in is our choice. What we don't kick out is our choice. The helmet of salvation. That's your armor. You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is fixed on thee because he trusts in thee. Fix your mind on the Lord. Fix your feet in the Lord. Fix on that breastplate. Fix on that belt of truth. Everything is Jesus. And according to the word of God. And the sword of the Spirit. This interesting that the word sword has, take the S off. The sword is the word of God. Okay. And the sword is your only offensive weapon. All the rest are like defensive against the attacks. This one, you use, and you attack with it. Now, we're told to study to show ourselves approved, a workman that rightly divides the word. So we must put the word in our mouth. We do a little bit, God does a whole lot. And he will give you that word even if you don't know it yet, if you're a new believer, if you have been slow to study it or spend time in it. He's still faithful. But the more you know the word, the stronger your attack is, because you've got a word for every attack. And the Holy Spirit will give it to you, because that's his job, to lead us into truth. So don't get into a works trip about memorizing scripture, knowing scripture, anything. Just stay in the word and in fellowship and all, and store this computer, and out it will come at the right time, more and more and more. You notice that Jesus, when he was attacked by, tempted by Satan in the wilderness, every time he was tempted, he said, "It is written." It is written. That's your sword. It is written. Because this is the truth. The devil comes. "You're ugly." "It is written, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. I am a work of art." Poema, Ephesians 1. Whatever he says. "You're rejected. No one loves you." "Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. I am accepted in the beloved." Go away, lying spirit, in the name of Jesus. "You're no good. You have no future. You know, it is written, it is written, it is written." Jerry McGee taught her grandchild, daughter, granddaughter a lot of scripture, and they would play a game, knock, knock, who's there? And so it was like that, knock, knock, who's there? I'm trying to blank. All I can think of is you're ugly. I don't know why I'm stuck on that. It works, it works. And then the child would give the scripture. And go away, you're ugly, in the name of Jesus. Because it is written, you see. And that's what we have. That's the sword. And they all overlap. And so the more you use it, the sharper it gets. Now let's not leave it in our belt, just hanging there at our side. And let's not just swing it around, not hitting anything. You know where it goes. Into that old liar. We bind truth to our mind, truth to our heart. We walk in truth. We speak the truth, and this is the truth. And we counter the attacks with the truth. God says that the Word of God is sharp, two-edged sword, cutting between soul and spirit, and rightly, even to the intents and motives of our heart. It's a powerful weapon. When Jesus comes back, Revelation 19, it says a sharp sword in his mouth. Now, he doesn't have a sword in his mouth. Have you ever seen some drawings like that? The sword in his mouth. It's the Word of God. And when he comes back, his word is just going to, all the enemies are just going to fall flat. They came to arrest Jesus and said, "Are you Jesus of Nazareth?" And he said, "I am." And they fell over backward. Why? Jehovah, I am that I am. So I think when he comes back and he speaks the sword in his mouth, whatever word, all the enemies fall down flat. So, the armor prayer. I gave you some different sheets. Like I said, there were, on some of the sheets I gave you all weekend, not everything on all of them is gospel. Someone asked me, "Do you believe step 12 of the 12-step forgiveness thing?" I said, "Look, no, these are tools. These are just helps, guides, training wheels, whatever. Take what's good, take what's of God, use it. It gives you different, it's like a recipe book. Sometimes you cooking the same thing all the time and you need a new recipe." So I just gave you some different ways to pray the armor. And, one of them I know, this is a little strange, but, it just gives you some different ideas about what that is. And I gave you the I Am, one of the I Am sheets, and then I ran this one off. It's a more complete I Am. When you want to counter with the breastplate of righteousness or with the helmet, the accusing voice of Satan when he tells you this and that and the other, and he can come through a friend, a husband, he can come through someone at church, there's no telling where that attack might come. These are just some things that you should realize that you are in Christ, and ways to fight back, and it's real encouraging. It's not a positive confession thing or anything. It's just a reminder of things that the Bible says about you, and they're true. And I'm not lonely. I'm united to the Lord. I'm a member of the body of Christ. I have a whole wonderful family. I'm not lonely. Whatever it is. So I did that for you with some little stickers. And I just thought we would maybe read one. First I'll read this from Dimitri Dudeman, a wonderful man of God, Romanian, now dead, but he was tortured for Christ. He didn't die that way. He came to America for years with a message about how America's going to burn and also to get ready for the Lord. But he said, "I feel a special joy in my heart whenever I share with you that which God puts on my heart. Be watchful And feel the Lord's hand which guides and gives strength when we say we have no strength left in us. We must knock at the door of his mercy, and the Lord will be the one who will renew us. The enemy makes war against us daily, trying to make us lose our way. The one who puts strength in us is God, and when he speaks something into being, no one and nothing can change it without his consent. Let us remain wholly committed and devoted to our Lord. Be at his disposal, worshiping him faithfully, being a light in the darkness that surrounds. Our victory is in God. He is our salvation in times of trial when the enemy threatens to overwhelm us. We remain steadfast in him, never shaken in tribulation, but instead strengthened. The Lord is our strength and our shield. If we remain in him, we are more than victorious. We can never say the path has become too hard, for the Lord takes up our burdens. Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, will by no means let us fall. There will come a day when all our hardships will end. Until then, Lord, help us not grow weary. And that's the kind of armor thing. We're in Christ. I thought we would read this one that's the hardest to read. It's kind of script thing to get an idea of just one of the armor prayers as we put it on. Hope we can read it. Lord, I put on the whole armor of God that I may be clothed with Christ. I put on the helmet of salvation and bring my mind into the captivity of the Lord Jesus Christ. I submit my will to your will and pray that your perfect will be done in me. I pull down the helmet down over my eyes to see through the eyes of Jesus. I pull it down over my to partake of the fragrance of the Lord, that I may become pleasing unto him. I pull it over my ears to hear the voice of the Lord and obey his voice. I pull it down over my mouth, that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart may be one and acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Keep your guard over my mouth. I put on the breastplate of righteousness over my heart, where faith and love alone reside. I thank you for this garment of righteousness, for I have none of my own. Cover me with your precious blood, and create in me a clean heart, O Lord, and renew a right spirit within us, within me. I put on the belt of truth, that I may stand secure in you. For righteousness shall be the girdle of my waist, and faithfulness shall be the girdle of my loins. Strengthen me in the inner man. I put on the shoes of the gospel of peace and wholeness, that I may stand and know the battle is not mine, but God's. I take up the shield of faith to quench all the fiery darts of the enemy. You are my shield, my refuge, my high tower, and to you alone do I run. I take up the sword of the Spirit, which is sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing and discerning the intentions of the heart. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Dispel all darkness, Lord, and fill me with your light. I throw off the spirit of heaviness, that I put on the mantle of praise, that I may be called an oak of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. Thank you, Lord, for placing a cloak of glory around me, that the glory of the your erect a thick shield of light around me and a wall of fire. Release your mighty warrior angels on my behalf. Let no evil befall me. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. And I kind of do another thing in the gist of it after I put my armor on, which could take just a few seconds or reading something like this, or you may be meditating on your way out the door about the helmet, you know, with more time. And then I say something like, you know, Lord, I give you my day, and please order my steps and use me today. And I do a little warfare, like I break any evil thoughts, words, judgments coming at me, any fiery darts, any assignments of the devil against me, my family, my property today are covered in Jesus' name. Some kind of little things like you know, and make me alert to the attacks that I don't fall into the traps. Oh, anything along those lines a little bit further than the armor that extend out to the invisible war, which we now know about. So, Happy New Year. And thank you, Lord, for new beginnings, and that your mercies are new every moment, not just at the New Year, Jewish or secular. Help us to walk daily in repentance, allowing you to search our hearts and test our ways, not letting the day end with any bitterness, unforgiveness, judgmentalism, or offense. Keep our armor on. It is your power and your might that enables us to do it. Create in us a clean heart and renew a right spirit in us. Amen.